This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. If it seems like the first part of Donald Trump's second stint in the Oval Office has been a swirling mass of chaos, you wouldn't be the only one saying it. Trump signed over 120 orders in his first 90 days. The stock market has soared and then dipped. Secret war plans have been texted. Tariffs are on, then they're off again. Then, surprise, they're back. So today, On Deadline is taking a look at three major themes in this administration since Trump was inaugurated in January. Immigration, tariffs, and battles. In one of his most recent skirmishes, Trump is fighting Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, lashing out at him for not cutting interest rates. CNN reported that Wall Street has been on edge since Trump started this particular fight. But Trump doubled down, writing on social media this week that Powell's termination cannot come fast enough. In another Trump social media post, he called Powell a, quote, major loser. Many experts say the president does not, in fact, have the power to fire the Fed chief due to policy differences. But he does actually have the power to turn around a flight. And because he didn't follow court orders to return flights of American immigrants deported to El Salvador, a federal judge ruled that there are grounds to hold him in contempt of court. Never one to shy away from courtrooms, Trump is also being sued by the states of California over tariffs and Minnesota over what the state's attorney general terms bullying. Minnesota's AG filed a suit claiming two of President Trump's executive orders targeting transgender youth and adults violate both the U.S. Constitution and Title IX. The lawsuit requests that the court declare the orders unconstitutional and unlawful. California is suing over tariffs, and political insider Phil Mateer joined Odyssey to discuss the Golden State's suit against the president.
The suit basically is challenging Trump's authority to impose these tariffs. The president is doing it under something like called the International Economic Emergency Policies Act, which allows the president in a time of an emergency to impose them. And the governor and the attorney general are saying, emergency, what emergency? You know, you're triggering this. Why are you doing this? And do you have the authority? That Congress needs to approve this, not just the president. They want congressional approval. I think that other governors would agree with them. Other Democratic governors would certainly agree with them. But Gavin Newsom, as you know, has a knack for being the first in line, and he is. Now, the flip side of this is he is leading with his chin. And if Trump is going to punch back, he's going to punch back at California first, and that could have some effects as well.
We know agriculture is huge. How will California prove that it's been harmed?
Well, that's what you show is that if there is a slippage in the amount of sales or the tariffs are hurting the farmers, for example. We have basically, you know, we have something like $140 billion of exportable goods that we put out. $47 billion outside. And that is a huge chunk of change. And a lot of that is agriculture, and a lot of that's headed towards China, which seems to be the biggest combatant in this tariff war. So you show that the farmers are harmed. But what you also show is that you're with them. And because Gavin and the Democrats have never been strong in the agricultural centers of California, and this is a way to show that we are with you and we're helping you and we are, whoever's in the White House, doesn't matter. We're trying to look out for your interest, in this case, the farmers.
Makes you wonder, though, why California's congressional delegation isn't making this argument, since supposedly Congress is the one who can establish tariffs.
You know, you got a good point there. And a lot of the questions going around, we're sitting there going, well, what are the people in Washington doing or not doing? And so far, we don't see them do much more than appear on Sunday morning talk shows. But the Republicans are in control of the House, and they do control the Senate by narrow margins. And so they are being able to squelch anything that comes out other than people, you know, talking about it. Eric, that's a very good point. So there are, the last time I checked, still three branches of government. And if Congress isn't going to act and the president is going to go his way, then the last remaining outlet is the courts. How long that holds on, we'll see. But this is the first challenge.
Different court challenge, the one that says he ignored a court order to return a flight of deportees, Nancy Cordes, CBS News' chief White House correspondent, joined Odyssey.
Well, he's basically taking this to the next level, and he is now warning that that administration officials could be held in contempt of court if they don't abide by what he has been calling for them to do, which is to give these 200-some Venezuelans who were flown out of the U.S. to a prison in El Salvador last month an opportunity to have due process and challenge their removal. And then that's a serious escalation here, because if you are found to be in contempt of court, you could go to jail.
So what is the next step? And I guess in this court order, it really is laid out. This is what I'm going to do.
Right, exactly. And he did say that the administration has the opportunity to come back and offer some alternative to all of these Venezuelans being brought back to have a removal hearing. He said he's open to their suggestions, but that they can't just continue to ignore his rulings. Remember, he's the judge when these Venezuelan men were placed on planes in the first place and flown to El Salvador. He issued those orders while they were still in the air, saying, turn around, don't land. These are unauthorized deportations. These men have not had an opportunity to get due process. But the administration is striking a very defiant note here. We've already heard from DOJ saying that Boasberg has no right to seize control of the president's authority to conduct foreign policy, and the White House itself is saying we're going to appeal this because the president is committed to ensuring that criminally illegal migrants are no longer a threat to Americans and their communities. So they say they have no intention of bringing these men back.
It really does set up this fight between the executive and judicial branches. So if the judge makes a criminal referral to the Justice Department, I mean, it's Trump's Justice Department.
It is, and that's a great point. But apparently, with contempt proceedings, the judge does have the opportunity to appoint an outside lawyer, someone who does not work for DOJ, to conduct the process. And so there would be some independence there. But, you know, you're absolutely right. We're in unprecedented territory. And this is not the only judge that is turning the screws on the administration. You now have a U.S. district judge in Maryland who is saying similar things. This is in the case of Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, the El Salvadoran migrant who had a judge's order from 2019 saying he should not be deported from the U.S., but he was one of the people who was on these planes as well. She has been telling the Trump administration that they need to bring him back, and they say that she doesn't have the authority to tell them to do that. And so she's now calling for depositions of administration officials. So things are getting more tense in these clashes between the judiciary and the executive branch, and it's unclear where it's going to go from here.
So who do you think would be called to testify?
She's already laid out that she wants depositions of State Department officials, of Homeland Security officials, anyone who was involved in ICE officials, the decision to place Kilmar Abrego-Garcia on that list on the manifest to begin with. ICE officials early on conceded that that was a mistake. It was an administrative error. Basically, someone didn't notice the fact that he was not supposed to leave the country. But now the administration is arguing, actually, it wasn't a mistake. It was not a mistake, and that he is right where he belongs. And so, you know, she wants to know more about how this came about and what is being done, if anything, to try to bring him back.
This may be more politics, you know, than policy. We want due process and all. But what do you make of the news that came out that this gentleman had a domestic violence, you know, proceeding that didn't go forward, but that his wife had attacked him? I mean, that doesn't play well in the court of public opinion, but it's still, people still are, you know, they're entitled to due process.
Right. Absolutely. It doesn't look great. His wife basically filed for what amounts to a restraining order against him. She said that he was violent and that he hit her. I think this was back in 2021, if I'm not mistaken, a few years ago. She put out a statement yesterday saying that, you know, she had been in an abusive relationship before, and that's why she got worried in this relationship. But regardless, it doesn't justify deporting him from the country when there's a judge's order that he not be deported. But it certainly feeds into the administration's argument that he is not a great guy. Of course, they've gone further, and they're saying not only that he's a domestic abuser, but that he is a human trafficker. And now they're saying not only is he an MS-13 gang member, but he is a gang leader. That is what the attorney general said yesterday. They haven't provided any evidence of that. Certainly this, you know, the TRO filing is going to bolster their case in the court of public opinion.
Economics and finance at the University of New Orleans offered some perspective.
Let's talk about the economy and tariffs. They got a new Gallup poll out, says 53% of Americans say their financial situation is getting worse. First time in 25 years, the majority has expressed financial pessimism. It's hard for me to be to weigh in on this, because I make the same amount of money. I'm blessed. I do all right. And I buy the same amount of stuff. And I'm at that point in life where I don't spend a lot of money. So what is the situation on the economy, Dub? How do you even go about gauging it, people like yourself?
Well, I think what you're seeing in that poll is people are looking at their 401ks or 403bs, and they're seeing that the stock market has fallen 9%, and therefore the value of their retirement looks like it's going down. I think that's probably what's driving that particular poll, because the stock market is, well, again, somebody, Wall Street Journal said that the stock market's now falling about, in, it had the worst April since the Great Depression. Now, it picked back up yesterday because Trump had said some things about backing off on maybe we'll get a deal with China. And he also said that he won't fire the head of the Federal Reserve, which was scared, I think, everybody in the world when he said that. And so, you know, and he saw what the reaction to that was. And so I think he's backed down for one of the first times. He's also, you know, he's got Vance over in India, you know, trying to work out a deal with them. So we're possibly seeing some possibilities of backing down on some of these tariffs.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, and I'm not, you know, I just want to leave the politics out of this. I'm just looking at bottom line, right, on a balance sheet. What happened with tariffs? Did anything happen? Did we gain anything, or did the stock market just lose all of that value for nothing?
Well, no. I mean, well, we're not there yet. I mean, the question is, where are we going to be in 6 months or a year from now? And that's what people are, you know, affecting the stock market is what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we certainly gained nothing yet from the tariffs. But the question is, you know, is he using this as a negotiating tool and trying to get better trade relations with some of the other countries? And when if he gets that, he'll back down, like he's talking to with India in particular. And if all that happens, then I think you'll see the stock market go back up, and maybe we will have gained something.
So that's why I'm wondering.
Everybody says, but we don't know if that's going to happen, if that's what's going on. but there's at least some, the stock market jumped up because of some hope that that might be happening.
So what's going on with inflation? What I'm wondering is, and I'm not, you know, I just want to lead the politics out of this. I'm just looking at bottom line, right, on a balance sheet. What happened with tariffs? Did anything happen? Did we gain anything, or did the stock market just lose all of that value for nothing?
Well, of course, the tariffs themselves will cause at least short-term inflation. Now, those haven't really hit yet. I mean, our inflation rate is, well, no, I mean, well, we're not there yet. I mean, the question is, where are we going to be in 6 months or a year from now? And that's what people are, you know, affecting the stock market is what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so we certainly gained nothing yet from the tariffs. But the question is, you know, is he using this as a negotiating tool and trying to get better trade relations with some of the other countries? And if he gets that, he'll back down like he's talking to with India in particular. And if all that happens, then I think you'll see the stock market go back up and maybe we will have gained something.
So that's why I'm wondering.
Everybody says but we don't know if that's going to happen, if that's what's going on. But there's at least some, the stock market jumped up because of some hope that that might be happening.
So what's going on with inflation?
Events that, you know, well, of course, the tariffs themselves will cause at least short-term inflation. But the other thing about inflation is, I mentioned Trump was unhappy with Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, who kind of does more to control inflation than anybody else. And, you know, people got to remember that we've, you know, Most people aren't as old as me, don't know what, or don't remember the last bout of inflation we had in the 1970s. But we need to remember that we haven't had any since the 1970s significantly until this pandemic thing that just happened. Mm-hmm. And that's because the Federal Reserve has controlled it. And so that's why the whole world, when he said, well, he wants to, you know, fire Jerome Powell because he's not lowering interest rates, that scared everybody. Because the Fed has done a good job of controlling inflation. Now, what happened since the pandemic was just a confluence of events. It was the Ukraine war. It was driving up oil prices. And then we had all the people coming out of the pandemic, spending money like crazy that they hadn't spent for 2 years. And then the federal government pouring money into the economy. That's what caused this current bout of inflation. But it was a series of things. But the Fed has about got it back under control again. Until the tariffs story started.
Sir Richard Branson, the billionaire owner of Virgin Airlines, launched a stinging attack on Trump this week, saying that the president's, quote, erratic and unpredictable economic policies risk doing so much damage. It's just such a pity because everything was going so bloody well up until about 3 months ago, Branson said. On the other hand, a recent poll found that 78% of Republicans favor the tariffs and believe they will benefit the U.S. in the long run. Trump has promised that the gains are going to be plenty. He says these tariffs are going to help re-energize manufacturing in the United States, bring jobs here, and promote stability. We will supercharge our domestic industrial base, the president has said recently. The tariffs, they're just a short-term pain for a long-term gain, in Trump's view. And it seems that plenty of his supporters are willing to go along for the ride. This show is produced by Christy Strauser and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.